Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We're joined by Vinny Del Negro. Vinny, before we get to the Utah Jazz, let's also talk about that little guy named Steve Nash who happens to have won two straight MVP awards. When you have a team that has matured at all positions in the last 2 years, Nash is able to relax a little bit. Tell me about his caliber of play this year.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he ever relaxes. I think he always is one of the first guys to practice. He was one of the first guys to training camp a few weeks early, working on his game, always in top condition. He has to push the tempo, and he's excellent at figuring out when the team is struggling scoring. He's a little more aggressive offensively. If the team is in a nice flow, he kind of sets everything up and delivers the basketball. He picks his spots really, really well, and he's playing at an extremely high level right now, and nothing surprised me. He works hard. He prepares well, keeps his body in top condition, and that's why he is continually not only an MVP candidate but an all-star and just kind of a leader and one of the best players in the game without question.
And when you have a threat like Amari Stoudemire down underneath, it takes a little pressure off him, and Barbosa can play the point now from time to time, right?
Yeah, it's all options. You know, as many options as you can give Mike D'Antoni. Obviously, the better off we are. Leandro Barbosa is having a great season. Boris Diaw's picked it up lately and is extremely talented. So we have enough weapons. Sean Marion is consistently just a dominant player. So, we have a lot of weapons, but, we have to continue to improve in a lot of areas and not be passive and not be complacent. And we haven't done anything yet. We have to just continue to grind it out. It's a long season, but we have the type of character guys that we're excited to have, and I think we'll continue to improve and get ready for this long stretch.
But you guys are so humble, but the reality is you only had 5, 6, 7 guys circulating last year. Now you've got 8, 9, maybe even 10. Doesn't that make a difference?
The depth is what we wanted to do in the offseason. I think we've done that a little bit. Marcus Banks and Jermaine Jones and James Jones and everyone involved there coming off the bench. So adding Jalen Rose, it's more options for Mike. And guys will go into have good stretches and bad stretches. You just want to stay as consistent as you can. But the more opportunities guys get, the more opportunities the coach has to put in players, obviously helps the starting unit. And it's tough at sometimes to add quality guys, and I think we did that. And we just have to continue to definitely improve in that area and make Mike feel comfortable to put certain guys in. But he goes with like about an 8-man rotation, and that's where he's at right now. And he's comfortable, and the guys know their roles, and we're going to go from there.
Well, we're talking to Vinny Del Negro. We're joined by a guy who's been a quarterback in one field but who covers sports for Channel 9 ABC in Kansas City. Len Dawson, how are you?
I'm just fine, Nick. Thank you very much.
Lenny, I always like to start with a question.
You want a question. You want an answer, see?
Well, the question is going to be, what do you think of the quarterback of the Suns and how you compare what he does for the Suns to the quarterback on a good NFL team?
A quarterback for what now?
The guy named Steve Nash, that funny little guy that happens to have won two straight Most Valuable Player awards.
He is good. He is real good. He looks small out there, but he's about 6'4", isn't he? I think
6'3", 6'4"?
6'3".
6'3", yeah. I had an opportunity to see him in Phoenix a couple of years ago. Really, really a good player, and he is the quarterback of that team. I mean, he makes it go. He's something special.
To me, he's kind of like a Peyton Manning, irrespective of the fact that Indy had a poor game yesterday. But let's finish off with Utah very quickly here. Vinny, we appreciate your time. Utah is probably one of the teams that people know the least about. Besides Kirilenko, tell me about Boozer and Williams and some of the other players.
They've had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. You know, Carlos Boozer, they went out in free agents market, and they spent a lot of money. They got him on their roster, but he's been injured for a couple of years. Kirilenko missed a lot of last season. They drafted Darren Williams out of Illinois a couple of years ago. He's really come into his own. Matt Harpering had knee surgery last year. He's healthy again. So they finally gotten healthy. Jerry Sloan, an excellent coach, has a very good system, fits all his players around that. So it's surprising because they've done so well early, but it's not surprising because they finally actually have had a healthy team together now for a long stretch. Jerry Sloan does such a good job in his system. Guys are buying into that. You got young players improving. You got veterans coming back from injury. They've blended well together early. It's a long season, but obviously confidence and getting on a roll early obviously has helped them.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you get a chance to get off the road for a few days anyway, Vinny.
Well, it goes in stretches. A little busy time right now, but always good to talk to you.
All right, my friend. Well, great
Take
job.
Care,
looking forward to watching you guys down the road.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
That's Vinny Del Negro, one of the hardest working guys, a future NBA head coach. And the head coach for our Monday morning quarterback is Len Dawson. Len, I hate to talk about the Chiefs after a loss, and it's certainly the first loss at home in 19 games does not exactly underscore good things for the Chiefs right now.
No, it was a mismatch. That defense of Baltimore is for real, and they were relentless. I'm telling you, they were going after people. They sacked Trent Green 5 times. He turned the ball over 3 times in a row, in 3 possessions in a row, 2 interceptions and a fumble. So they took it to the Chiefs. I know that Larry Johnson rushed for 120 yards, but bear in mind, he had 47 yards on one run and I think about 15 on another run. But when I was gathering the stats on him during the course of the ball game, in 19 carries, he had... let's see, the 47-yard run, but the rest of them, the other 18 and then 19 carries, he was averaging 2.5 yards per rushing attempt, and that will not get it done. So that says a lot about Baltimore's defense, because they were on the field, and I'm telling you, they were getting penetration up the middle, getting penetration on the outside, and harassing the quarterback all afternoon long.
And speaking of the quarterback, Trent Green, we talked about the transition back from a concussion. It just seems to me, despite what the doctors say, that whether it's Roethlisberger or Trent Green, coming back from a very serious concussion, in the case of Roethlisberger, 2 concussions, it can't really help your decision-making. Trent Green forcing the ball when the Chiefs are in scoring position 3 times in a row, 2 times in interceptions, the other time just not protecting the ball in traffic. I just don't understand why he isn't being more careful with the ball, and what do you think the Chiefs are going to do about it to give them any shot the last few games?
Well, they're not going to take him out. Herm Edwards has already explained that. Some people are saying, how about Damon Hewitt? You know, he did a good job when he was in there. But Damon had problems protecting the ball as well, because he coughed it up a couple of times. But for Trent, unlike him, because the first interception, he was trying to make a play. He was getting rushed, and he was falling backwards, throwing it down the middle of the field, and that ball just sailed on him. Easy interception for the safety for Baltimore. And then Kansas City was moving on down in scoring territory, and he makes the same type of decision, not locating the defensive players. The important thing about a quarterback when you're deciding who to throw the football to, you know where your people are going to be. Now you got to figure out where the defensive people are going to be, and you have to locate those people before you make that final decision. And he didn't do that in the second interception as well, threw it right to the safety, and came up with the interception and killed an opportunity to put some points on the board. But Trent has not thrown the ball like I've seen him in the past since coming back from that concussion. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line, Nick. You know, you got to give the guy some protection, and they were not doing that because he was getting, as I said, harassed all afternoon long. And so that has a way of sometimes making poor decisions on the part of the quarterback when to throw the ball and who to throw the thing to.
And it's a little bit like Jake Plummer's situation, too, when you haven't surrounded him. Of course, Larry Johnson and Tony Gonzalez are 2 huge exceptions, but at wide receiver they did nothing to really strengthen the position, while Sammy Parker had a couple big plays as well. Don't you think it makes a difference, too, when the skill positions at wide receiver are not quite as dominant as they might be?
Well, I'll tell you, in watching the receivers, they're not getting the separation you'd like to see as a quarterback to make a pass easier to throw. I mean, they're being covered really close. And a lot of that has to do with the pass protection, that they don't have enough time to work on the defensive people down the field. Maybe they cut their pattern short and make it easier on that defender. But the thing is, when you look, I'm looking at the other teams, and they're getting pretty good separation from Kansas City's defensive players. And so it's all a matter of how much time that quarterback has. If he's got enough time, those people will get the separation, you'll get the completions. But if he's not getting the time, it presents a huge problem.
And Baltimore continuing to play well, especially with their offensive play calling, seem to have been stabilized by their head coach. And also on defense for the Chiefs, a lack of communication. Greg Wesley seeming to give up a big play again. What's going on with the defense?
Well, you hit it on the head. There was a couple of big plays in that ball game that was a difference. The difference maker was the 87-yard pass, catch, and run for a touchdown in the second half. And there was miscommunication between Ty Law and Greg Wesley. Now, I don't know. Nobody's saying whose fault it was, because Herm Edwards was not going to point the finger, but evidently somebody was at fault, because you don't turn a guy loose down deep in in your secondary. And whoever it was made a mistake, and that's the problem. You got two veterans that I'm talking about here. Ty Law has been around a long time. Greg Wesley has been in the league for several years now, too. And so there shouldn't be any miscommunications going on back there in the secondary, because when there are miscommunications, they change the scoreboard, and that's exactly what they did on that play. Then the other situation was Kansas City still in the ball game in the fourth quarter, and the Baltimore Ravens hold the ball for over 9 minutes in a drive, finally scoring a touchdown, coming up with about four third down plays. There was the first third down play. It was third and long, something like 13 or 14, and they come up with, I think, a 30-yard pass or whatever it was. And that was a killer for Kansas City's defense. You know, the defense has got to do their job. They've got to get out there. When you're behind, put the pressure on the quarterback, which they're not able to do. There's no push up the middle by Kansas City's defensive tackles. And when that happens, that means that quarterback can stand back there. He took about 4 seconds before he had to get rid of that ball, and that's a lifetime for a quarterback in a passing situation.
We're listening to Len Dawson, who's had a lifetime in sports, Super Bowl MVP, and more. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Dallas-New Orleans game, LT, what he is accomplishing for San Diego, and more. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.